The threat has shifted, honestly. It's from physical to identity-based. It's no longer bolt cutters in the yard or Wild West-style hijackings anymore. It's spoof emails, impersonated broker carriers, loads quietly diverting in transit on using stolen identities. We actually saw that this carrier or this driver was able to bypass the bolt seal that we placed on the locking mechanism. He didn't realize that we did have covert tracking in there that alerted us to all of these different ping and points of visibility. Ultimately, the driver was arrested and he was charged with first degree felony on cargo theft over $200,000.
Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the number one voice of supply chain. Join us as we share critical news, key insights, and real supply chain leadership from across the globe, one conversation at a time.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton and Scott DeGroot, a.k.a. The Professor, here with you on Supply Chain Now. Welcome. Hey, Scott DeGroot, how you doing today?
I am outstanding, Scott. Summer is here, and I'm ready for it.
I'm not ready for what's right around the corner in terms of 127-degree temps, but hey, baseball's here. We got NBA Finals, and better yet, we've got another terrific show. I really enjoyed our collaboration and your perspective. And folks, today, we've got a fascinating story to share with you here today. This is going to be one of the most unique shows of the year here at Supply Chain Now. We're going to be sharing the story of how one fearless supply chain leader was able to stop a brazen act of cargo theft, in part using innovative modern technology. Plus, we're going to be sharing tips, tactics, and technologies, say that three times fast, that will enable your organization to optimize its security across the supply chain ecosystem, all that and much, much more. Again, stay tuned for what might just be your most interesting hour of the week. Now, Scott, given your background and your track record of making stuff happen in global supply chain, especially in logistics and planning and distribution, I'm looking forward to your insights here today. Should be a great show, huh?
Yeah, I agree, Scott. It's a great topic. And I think if you're not paying attention, you might not be aware of the explosion in freight fraud. And it's really a problem for all of us.
That's right. That's right. You know, as we talk about a lot, the same innovative technology that the good actors have access to, well, bad actors have access to it as well. But never fear, there's things and steps you can take today to do something about it. So let's get to work. I'm going to welcome in our featured guests here today, Fernando Boom, Director of Transportation at Venture Metals, and backed by popular demand, Krenar Kamoni, Founder and CEO of Tive. Let's bring them both in. Hey, Fernando, how you doing today, my friend?
Good morning, everyone. I'm great. Fantastic. Great weather here in Philly. I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's terrific. We've really enjoyed our pre-show conversations. Great to have you here as well. And Krenar, great to see you once again. Appreciate the great work, innovative work you're doing out in the industry. Welcome to Supply Chain Now.
Thank you, Scott. And Scott and Fernando, great seeing you. Excited about this show today. And it's 70 plus in Boston, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, 70 plus. Okay.
I think, yes. Beautiful. That's what it said in the morning. Yeah, it is. It's 72.
Well, it sounds gorgeous. And Scott DeGroot, not sure what it is temp wise up in your neck of the woods, but we got a hot conversation here today. Is that right?
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful 75, but I think the more interesting thing is how we're preventing freight fraud. And that's amazing to me.
It is. It is. And we got quite a lot to get into. But first, Fernando, you know, I was getting to know you through our pre-show conversations. And there's a lot of things we could talk about in terms of big things you're doing outside of supply chain. But in particular, art shows. When I ask you about art shows, you lit up because it's one of your favorite things to go do. Tell us about that passion.
My wife and I, we enjoy art shows and local artists. We frequently go to different venues and different functions that are being held in the DFW area or wherever we're at, honestly. And we try to see if we can afford, not unsuccessfully most times, to purchase some of the unique pieces from the local artists. A lot of folks don't really give the local artists a little love. So we like to do that.
A very admirable a hobby of yours, Fernando, and I'm with you. I can't afford that fine art. I'm still celebrating my kids' crayon drawings. All right, so Krenar, one other thing we've talked about in your previous appearances is many things, but your son is an avid soccer player, football, And that takes my mind to the World Cup. Who is your son pulling for, Krenar?
I asked him actually literally yesterday because he was at tryouts. So he's rooting for two. He doesn't know which one, but France and Spain.
Okay.
Looks like France has some really good players, and Spain obviously won World Cups recently, so they have a really good team. So he's between those two.
Well, I think those are good picks. I wish I was more of a football pro, Scott DeGroote, but those sound like good picks to me. And I'm probably more curious about the logistics behind the World Cup because I'm a big supply chain nerd. But Scott, do you have a pick for football?
Yeah. I can't help but go with my perennial favorite, which is Argentina. You know, yes, you could think about USA and maybe they have a chance, but Argentina, you know, how can you root against Argentina? I don't. That's my view, but we'll see how
we go. I'm with you. I'm ready for lots of close matches, and I love the sudden death. That is probably one of the best sports experiences around the globe. But speaking of, we got a lot of stuff to get into when it comes to cargo security and Fernando's story. So let's level set a bit. So for Fernando, for the few folks out there that may not know Venture Metals and your role, can you level set a bit with us?
Sure. Venture Metals International is a global industrial recycler headquarters out of Dallas. Since 1986, we've handled scrap metal recycling, reverse logistics, material recovery for industrial, manufacturing, construction, and even energy customers across the U.S. and internationally. We supply raw materials to the mills and manufacturers. They melt those things down to the products that we all end up using on an everyday basis. And I'm the head of the transportation department for the enterprise. I run the logistics end-to-end. Fleet, dispatch, safety, compliance, carrier relationships, and governance, making sure materials move reliably and they securely across our facilities and customer locations. That's the quick elevator pitch.
I like it, Fernando. That's very helpful context. And Scott DeGroote, I'm not sure if you ever spent much time studying the metals industry, but it is fascinating, Scott, huh?
Yes, and I think a lot of people, I agree with you, and you know, so much of our infrastructure depends on Fernando and his team doing their jobs very well because we need these metals and we need them back.
That's right. If we stop and thought about all the different parts that we don't even think about that requires Fernando and his team's efforts, it really is something. Now, Krenar, most folks, I would say, especially in our audience, is familiar with TIVE and the work you do. But let's, for our new audience members, tell us what TIVE does, Krenar.
Yes. So, hi, everybody. My name's Krenar. I'm CEO and founder here at TIVE. Started the company almost 11 years ago. June 8th, it'll be 11 years. So time is flying by. But what we do is pretty straightforward, Scott. We help companies all over the world understand and observe what is really happening with their shipments. So what customers do is they take these trackers, they put them on top of the pallet, on top of the load, similar to what Fernando did here, and really excited to hear his story. And they get to see it in real time, what's happening with the shipment. But our software automatically figures out if something is going wrong and then alerts customers if something is actually about to go wrong or is going wrong so they can act upon it and be able to save a shipment. And that's really our goal, is to save as many shipments as possible out there.
Yep. Love that, Krenar. And it's so needed, going back to Scott's point about the continued rise of cargo theft. Folks, the story we keep referencing, by the way, we're kind of breaking up the conversation in a couple of different nuggets. Number one, we're about to kind of speak to the landscape of what we're seeing out there, right? Some freight trends, cargo theft trends, you name it, and get Krenar and Fernando and Scott all the way in. And then we're going to talk about some of the technologies to fight the good fight, to counter the risk out there and mitigate the risk out there. And then the story we keep referencing, Fernando was able to stop bad actors from stealing about a $240,000 shipment of copper. And so that's what we keep referencing. And it's a Hollywood story, maybe a movie in a few years. So we'll get to that here in just a minute. But let's do this. Scott, first off, I keep referencing, we're going to get Krenar to kind of put a finer point on it. But, you know, this cargo theft environment, and we see old, but also new approaches almost every single day. It poses quite the risk to supply chains everywhere, huh?
There has been, as you say, especially in the last 3 years, an exponential expansion or growth of cargo theft. And, you know, by sophisticated actors who are using advanced technology to ghost shipments, to ghost carriers, to steal, I'll just use that word, steal information that the shipper has that they then become. And the point is, these are organized, sophisticated rings of criminals who, every time we put a defense in, they try to come back with another way to get around our defense. And that's why I'm so excited about Fernando's story and what Tive has to offer, because, you know, there are some things that you can't get around. And I appreciate the fact that there's a lot of value that could leak out of our supply chains if we don't fix this problem.
That's right. Elevated innovation on the bad actor side requires an elevated innovative approach on the good actor side, I'll call it. Now, Krenar, as we were referencing earlier, you work with organizations across the industry. And by the way, congrats on 11 years come June 8th. That's quite a feat. We'll have to celebrate in some cool ways. But if you would, you've got some unique perspective here. When you think about key trends, you know, data points, some of the tactics that criminals are using when it comes to cargo theft, what's important for folks to know out there, Krenar?
I would say, as Scott alluded to, right, there are some sophisticated ways that theft is happening now. The traditional, like, think of many, many years ago is somebody actually stops the truck, opens the trailer, steals the goods, and then there's nothing happening and carrier has nothing to do with it. The driver doesn't have to do anything with it. That's hard work. Because you really got to be a thief. You got to stop. You got to make sure you evade the police and nobody sees you. So how do you do that? Like, how do you skip all of that is by being fraudulent. And with artificial intelligence, there's been a proliferation of ways to do that. So now you have chameleon carriers that have had fraud. They've done something and they just go apply for a new MCN number. Then you have double brokering happening. So a carrier broker picks up a load, and then another carrier picks up that load from this broker, and then suddenly you don't know which carrier is picking up, and that next carrier could be fraudulent. You have fraudulent MC holders, so criminals easily go and buy potentially an MC number from somebody, and that MC number maybe hasn't been used for 12 months or 24 months, and somebody has it, but they want another $2,000-$3,000 in their pocket. They buy the MC number. They become a carrier. It's legit because that MC number has been around for X amount of years. They go and say, hey, we're going to pick up the load. They accept the load and somebody goes with a truck, with a driver, just picks it up and then steals the load. So there's identity theft. A fraudulent a driver shows up that's not supposed to show up at the place, but they have all the documentation. Everything looks legit. The people in the warehouse, they look at it and say, okay, fine, you're here to pick it up. But they were able to intercept that from the broker, and they know exactly what the load is. Somebody maybe inside a brokerage spied and told them about it. So they go pick up this load of gaming consoles or metals or anything they can sell off the street and make $200,000-$400,000 instead of just $2,000-$5,000 to move that load. Now they're making $250,000 potentially. From one or two loads. And this is happening. And sometimes shippers, broker, it just can't catch them at this early stage. There's a lot of technology that's being added, but the key is to build layers on top of that, which I'm sure we'll talk about here, so that if it happens, how are you going to react and actually catch these things up to these missteps happened?
All right. Really quick before I check in with Fernando, Scott Negroot, that was a dizzying array from chameleon carriers to double brokering to fraudulent MC number holders, identity theft. And perhaps one of the biggest things that Krenar shared is the motivation for doing all that stuff has risen dramatically from a couple thousand bucks to making $250,000 or more in a heist. Scott, speak to what we heard there from Krenar.
Yeah, no, I think that it's right. And what Krenar is really reaching at is that, you know, you might not be aware at your company, if you're a shipper or manufacturer, that it's happening at some level. But the scale across a broad number of enterprises, especially big shippers, you know, it could be adding up to millions and millions of dollars for some of these criminal enterprises. And because of the speed of the technology changes, this is big money. and you're losing big money when you're not fighting it. And I'm very supportive of this idea of having multiple layers here. It's not just defense of the data. You got to have defense of the actual freight. So I'd love to hear this story.
So Fernando, with that in mind and kind of hearing Kunal walk through some of the risks, some of the examples out there, your thoughts, Fernando?
Yeah, what Scott and Kunal described is exactly what we're seeing and living. The threat has shifted, honestly, it's from physical to identity-based. It's no longer bolt cutters in a yard or Wild West-style hijackings anymore. It's spoof emails, impersonated broker carriers, loads quietly diverting in transit on using stolen identities. And they're deliberate about it, too. They target high-value freight with known corridors that have these high-value lanes. And the hard part is that these attacks are completely legitimate on paper. It's a clean broker, a clean carrier, clean paperwork, real-looking entities. And by the time anyone notices, the load's already gone. Defenses built for that old model just don't catch it. You have to modernize.
You have to modernize. That's right. Someone told me at a recent industry event, if you're taking a horse and buggy approach to supply chain these days, you're in trouble. And, you know, we still have a lot of old-fashioned ways of doing things, and we can't do that. We can't afford it, especially when it comes to cargo security. So really, to that end, the good news here today that we're going to be sharing are the steps you can take today to better prepare your enterprise and supply chain ecosystem to truly optimize cargo security. So Kunal, coming back to you, share some of the advanced capabilities that TIVE offers its customers so that they can better mitigate risk and prevent loss.
There's multiple layers, and we can dive into each in detail, but I would say one of the first things you do, you just try and monitor the shipment of where it is. And by placing the tracker inside the trailer, inside the container where the thieves don't even know it's there, the carrier doesn't even know it's there, you as a shipper in the warehouse loaded the truck with this on top of it, I think is a step number one. So now you know where your load is. If there's a diversion, you'll be able to catch. And the way diversion happens is what we've done is at TIVE, we built this thing called the Smart Route Deviation Alert. So we've collected billions of data points and millions of routes, and we know exactly where a truck's supposed to do. Like you talked, Fernando, about the corridors that are in those corridors, you know exactly where the truck's supposed to go. But if it deviates from that route, we automatically know that there is a deviation, and we send an alert, and customers are able to act and see why it's happening. Then there's a light alert in these trackers. So if somebody opened the truck, you'll be able to send see a light alert. Then on top of that, on the trailer, customers, what they do is they place a seal. So if the seal gets cut, we'll be able to get notified before even the trailer is open. And if the trailer is open, there's a light alert. If there's a deviation, if a truck stops for 30 minutes, for 45 minutes, and they're not supposed to stop, especially when they leave the area, though sometimes most thefts happen within 200 miles from the origin. There's those alerts that we can set up for customers. There's risk zones, so that they know then in these risk zones, they were not even, first of all, not supposed to enter and let alone stop on those zones. And then on top of that, by combining all these things together with a monitoring solution, which we provide 24/7 monitoring, or customers have their own, teams that actually, monitor these shipments. Between that, now you suddenly created multiple layers, and then we can continue to add more on top of that. But before even doing all of this, there is identity verification that we can do for customers. So when a shipment comes, when a truck comes in, a driver is there. Well, and I think Fernando, you can share that a little bit on how we can able to detect whether the carrier is legit, whether the driver is legit before we even let them take the load. So between all those, now you have a layered approach. So even if you miss the first layer, you got the second. You miss the second, you got the third. You miss the third, you got the fourth.
Tons of valuable redundancy, but also tons of unique ways of monitoring exactly what's going on, and get those timely notifications. Whether Kunal, you mentioned from the light alerts to the broken seal alerts to the deviation alerts, on top of the 24/7 monitoring. And Fernando, you know, clearly you and Tav have been collaborating for quite some time. When you think of the automation and the AI features in Tav, maybe some things that Krenar spoke to and didn't speak to that you use on your shipments, what's important for folks to understand?
Scott, Tav sits in our fourth of six governance layer for venture maps. For us, it comes down to visibility that we can actually act on. We run Tav for real-time in-transit telemetry, light sensors, route deviations, alerts, and GPSs, just like Krenar was suggesting. We know exactly where our loads are, what's happening to it throughout the life cycle of that shipment. The piece that matters most to us is that we can act fast on anomaly detection. That moment sometimes deviates, and I'm alerted when those loads still moving, not in post-mortem after the loss. We know in real time when something is happening. If a door is open, light comes in, enters in, we get an alert immediately. If the route deviates, we get an alert and we act accordingly. That window, being able to respond mid-transit instead of just filing a claim afterwards, is the whole game. It's our last fail-safe layer and the reason why we're here today.
I think so too. And we're going to shed some more light on that in just a second. So there's an alert for y'all folks. All right. So Scott, we just heard a lot of modern, what I'll call modern day approaches, technology-driven approaches that are really effective at countering this incredible increase, right, between what Krenar and Fernando both shared. What'd you hear there, Scott?
Yeah, I learned a lot, you know, and certainly I kind of had an expectation that this would be mostly about route variance detection. Like we know to go from A to B, this is the route, or maybe that route. So I kind of was expecting that. But I love the fact that, okay, if the door is open, well, we can see that too. This idea of extended stops, like, hey, what are you doing on this part of the city that you shouldn't be in? You know, that's very interesting. You know, drivers are people too. So this idea of layered protection is very, very interesting and I think very practical when it comes to fighting against the criminals.
Well, I do too. And all in real time, which is really important, very important. And Scott, really quick clarification. I mean, when you spent 38 years leading logistics and distribution and planning, so you know firsthand some of the risks that Krenar and Fernando are both speaking to, right?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I think Krenar put it well. In the old days, it was just, you know, put on spotlights in your yard and make sure you have the right kind of seals. Nowadays, you have to be much more sophisticated than that. And I also appreciate the fact that we are in a battle in some degree to make sure that we know in real time, because after the fact is fine for insurance, but doesn't save the freight. It doesn't save the shipment. We want to save the ship.
That's right. All right. So, Krenar, before we prompt Fernando to tell us his firsthand experience that we're all waiting for, where he's basically the MacGyver of global supply chain. We're going to get that. Is there anything else, Krenar, you would like to share, especially in these countermeasures that folks can take, Krenar, before we get into this story?
Yeah, I think I mentioned all of them. I think the key is really it's better to be prepared than not to be prepared. I think people think, oh, I'll deal with it some other time. I'll deal with it some other day until then event happens. And then when the event happens, it's too late. Then everybody starts to hit us on inbound and call us. And yes, we're going to help everybody, but I'd rather help them earlier before the fraud happens.
That's right. Good advice. What's that Benjamin Franklin phrase?
Don't leave the job of today, tomorrow.
That's a good one, too. I was thinking an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. It kind of goes to the point you're talking about, too. But you got to act now, folks. And we're on the other side of this great story from Fernando. We're going to share how you can take action today. So stay tuned on that. All right. Fernando Boone, I've been reading, you know, because your story has been published in a couple media pieces out there very eloquently, by the way, and enlightening and amazing, really. Tell us, we're going to break the story up in two halves, right? Let's start with the first half. So tell us what happened, what went down, what prompted you to take action. Tell us more, Fernando.
Okay, so this was on March 23rd, and I was actually driving home with my wife and our preaching sons and our dog, coming home from a family trip in Arkansas. We were traveling southbound on 75, nearing home, about 35, maybe 40 minutes away from home. And I got a couple of phone calls from our logistics staff alerting us that there was a light alert on one of our outbound shipments from one of our locations in Wells Point. And that's really strange because the level of light that occurred on that alert mirrored the light that was entering in when the load was being loaded. So instead of it being a small ambient light seeping through a crack, this was an actual event that the doors were opened. So that's number one. And this happened twice within 5 minutes from each other. So multiple different logistics staff started contacting me. And I then decided to open the application. I had my wife open the application. She was sitting in the passenger side. And she was a little slow for me because she doesn't really, sorry, baby. She didn't really know the platform like I did. So I decided to just let her drive. And I said, Jessica, drive. And I told Jesus, take the wheel, because she's a native Texan born with a lead foot. So she is. I hope she's not.
Fernanda, really quick. I want to make sure that folks know how big of a shipment this was. This was a shipment of copper.
That's right.
$240,000. Is that right, Fernando?
That's right. The load was $240,000 worth. That was the replacement cost of that material.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you're driving. Your wife is working the application and whatnot.
Right.
Pick it up from there, Fernando.
So, yeah. So I pulled over, let her drive, and I opened the application correctly, and I looked at all the alerts. And this load was intended to be shipping from Wells Point to East Alton, Illinois, into a known copper corridor. The pings, they gave the alerts that it was opened shortly after it was loaded, maybe by 20 minutes, 30 minutes after it was loaded, it was reopened. So at that point, I started following our protocols and escalation processes, contacting the people that were touching this freight, whether it's the broker and the carrier that was on record that we had from the broker. And we were getting very conflicting information from what the carrier driver was stating to what telemetry was alerting us to, which is a major red flag. So at that point, I just escalated to an active hijacking, asked the broker to contact his risk management team and alert all law enforcement authorities. And by the time I did that, the load was broke the deviated route, what Carnal was suggesting, and he entered westbound instead of going north-northeast. He had no business going westbound past Dallas towards California, basically. So then I decided to just drive northwest, try to intercept them myself because I was closest. I wasn't intending on this happening. I was just in the right place at the right time.
Okay. And quick clarification, we wouldn't advise folks to take Fernando's very fearless actions. All right. So, Krenar, I want to bring you back in because we heard a couple of things there that you'd mentioned earlier, that light alert, the route deviation alert. And right there at Fernando's fingertips, to the point, real time, to the point where he felt he could interdict the shipment. Comment on what we heard there, Krenar.
Yeah, I think one thing that I want to just make clear, because sometimes there's customer noise out there, and like, yes, our system, as Fernando alluded, does what it's supposed to do, right? There is a light alert, there's a deviation alert. But imagine if Fernando didn't take any action. He was like, his wife didn't open up the laptop. He didn't even look at the laptop. He didn't get an email. Nobody acted on it. So I think that's one thing that's very important. And I'm sure Fernando is going to talk about, to be able to establish a team or have a monitoring team that's actually going to take action on this. And now in the future, obviously with AI, we're going to take voice action with AI. AI agents are going to follow up on a lot of these things. But just a light alert, just a route of deviation, it doesn't do much unless there's actually action being taken. And I'm very excited to hear the rest of the story here. But I think just wanted to point that out because sometimes systems do what they're supposed to do, but systems need to be interlinked on all the SOPs and processes that Fernando talks about. And that's very important.
That's right. And we're going to get into what Paul Harvey famously said, the rest of the story in just a second. But Scott, weigh in on what we've heard thus far.
Yeah, no, it's a great story. I feel like it's a little bit like a cliffhanger. I have to tune in for the second half here to see what happens. But I love it. And this idea that action is required to change the trajectory of things. And I'm excited to hear the story.
I am too. All right. So, Fernando, kind of where you stopped is you realized through those real-time notifications that things weren't taking place as they should. And you were very close, I think, in reading the coverage. I think every time you relay information to the authorities, the truck had moved. So you had real-time visibility, and you were off to interdict this shipment of Renegade Copper. So pick back up on there, Fernando, and kind of tell us the rest.
So sure. As we were traveling behind, we were tailing him about 25 minutes out from the truck, from the last ping of the telemetry. And during that time, I was coordinating with multiple different law enforcement entities. As the truck was crossing counties, I had to be redispatched different county authorities because of jurisdiction problems. So we ended up finally catching him at Wichita Falls, Texas, Love Truck Stop. The Wichita Police Department, kudos to them. I cannot sing their praises enough for responding and acting, all of them for that matter, even the dispatcher that was handling our phone call. They intercepted the carrier based on the information that I gave those officers, the truck license plates and the trailer numbers and all the information that we had during our dark level verification processes that we did capture. And I arrived 12 minutes later after that. Once I arrived, I spoke with the officers on scene. The supervisor came out. We gave them all the evidence that we had and all the telemetry uppings that we were seeing. And we actually saw that this carrier or this driver was able to bypass the seal, the bolt seal that we placed on the locking mechanism, because the locking mechanism was not a traditional rivet. It was an inverted bolt screw pattern where you can just remove the nut from the outside and remove the actual locking mechanism from the door with the bolt intact and gain access to the door. He didn't realize that we did have covert tracking in there that alerted us to all of these different pings and points of visibility. So this was really one of our saving grace for the last resort that we had on this layer. Ultimately, the driver was arrested, and he was charged with first-degree felony cargo theft over $200,000, and the load was impounded. The truck was impounded. We recovered our material, and we are now waiting trial. So it was a success story, one I never want to repeat again, though.
The shipment, I mean, Scott, you mentioned earlier, we want to save the shipment. And in this case, I mean, can you imagine if this is all traditional, you know, how we did it in the 80s or whatever decade we want to pick on, that thing would have been long gone. Right. And then the only action we could have take place is like post theft litigation, which can be very, very challenging. Krenar, on the second half of the story, he shared a couple of things I think is really important. What else would you like folks to really understand from Fernando's story?
I mean, Fernando was very courageous here, and obviously this truck was close by and he took that action. But obviously, I think, Fernando, you probably would say, this is not something we would recommend to anybody to do. But I think being close, being in the moment, totally understand what you did. And then him stopping at the truck stop made sense. But the law enforcement is key here. And working closely with law enforcement and them being there, and when you showed up, they were already there 10, 12 minutes earlier. And they were able to trust the data. You showed them the data. You understood what was happening. And then all those facts obviously then checked out. I think that's the biggest lesson here is work closely. You cannot be the hero all the way to the end. Law enforcement needs to take that. And that's, I think, the key, because $200,000, they're definitely important, but life is more important than anything else. And I think, Fernando, the steps you took are definitely the right ones there. And I'm glad that this resulted the way it resulted. And the data that you got from Ty was something that you trusted and law enforcement finally trusted to act on.
Well, and I'll pick up where you left off there, Krenar, because Scott DeGroote, way back when I was a young married couple, before our kids came along. We lived in Atlanta, and my Honda Accord was stolen, and it wasn't quite worth a 20th of what the copper load here was worth. But like we called the authorities, and of course we had no information to give them, much less real-time information. And I can't stress enough that the information that Fernando was able to have at his fingertips to provide the authorities, that took Renard's point, they have to be the ones to, you know, really intervene and capture the bad guys, so to speak. That's a key takeaway from the story for me, at least. Scott, weigh in on what you heard there from Fernando.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And Fernando, glad you're safe, mate. And I agree with Kinar and Scott. Like, don't take law into your own hands, generally speaking. But you had data, right? And you trusted the information. The information helped directed police activity. And Scott Luton, I will tell you, I had an accident in my vehicle and the driver left, you know, hit my vehicle and then left, you know, filed a police report and all that. But that's a lot of, you have to have the data. And I think what Bernard and the TIBE team are providing for us is verifiable, multi-layered data that we can use to take action or hand over to the authorities to take action.
And that's right.
That's amazing.
You know, we've got to be able to empower our team members to save the shipment, right? And the power here is the real-time information on a variety of levels and channels that we were describing earlier. And Cornar, I want to ask you about this. The driver behavior is, obviously, with deviation alerts is one example of how we're monitoring driver behavior. Anything else you want to add, Cornar, to that question?
From our vantage point, there's many other ways that driver behavior is monitored. Like, but from our vantage point is the identification in the beginning and then deviation. But if you are a carrier, there's a lot of technologies that carriers can actually utilize for that. So there's cameras that are dash cams that monitor the outside and how they're driving, and also the inside. Is the driver now suddenly texting while driving? And then they can alert, like, buzzes and splashes, like, hey, stop texting while you're driving. You can be on a call, but you cannot be texting. So there's a lot of ways to do that. And I think some carriers have actually implemented technologies like that. And finding carriers like that is sometimes difficult, but maybe one way to mitigate these things is make sure that these carriers have that tech.
That's excellent advice. Cornar, excellent advice. You know, drivers listening to the music too loud, turn that radio down, all kinds of alerts. Scott, really quick before I get advice from Fernando and Cornar, you know, Cornar is kind of speaking a little bit to carrier selection, right? Because there's all sorts of different questions and that we need to be posing to our carrier partners, old and new. Your quick thoughts there, Scott.
Well, yeah, I would just highlight the fact that what we're talking about is on top of what is a very dynamic and now expensive freight market, fuel surging. Surcharges of spot rates have gone up substantially, almost $4 a mile. And the Supreme Court is ruling on litigation that now makes brokers and broker safety checks more important. So I think it's a very dynamic marketplace. And one hassle you do not need is your freight being stolen. So at least one piece of this puzzle you can help fix by taking some of the steps we're talking about here today.
That's right, Scott. All right. So, Fernando, again, we're so delighted and relieved that you and your family safe and sound. But still, the story is remarkable. It really is. I'm sure the Venture Metals team is very proud of your brave actions and, of course, the results, too. But Fernando, given everything we've unpacked here today, both the industry perspective, some of the observations Cornar was sharing, to some of the technology that is now at our fingertips of you know, where organizations can lean into that and do business like it's 2026 versus 1986, to the story itself, what would you recommend that supply chain leaders do today to secure their organizations and, of course, their cargo?
Yeah, so I can tell you what is working for Venture Metals. I believe that a layered approach, just like everyone here is suggesting, is the correct approach. Our adversaries are using very sophisticated knowledge of the industry workflows. The tactics that they're using are easily identifiable, but the the way that they're using it is where the sophistication lies. The information is being intercepted upstream, where the goal is the cargo, but the target is the information, and the attack lies with the weakest link, those carriers and brokers that have weak processes and don't have those the sophisticated educational training on spoofing URLs or other cyber theft practices that our adversaries are using. We have developed a six-layered system for venture metals that starts upstream with verification and validation from the carrier and broker level to deterministic dock level validation at our docks to communication and ultimately escalation and response third-party task force with law enforcement connections so that we don't have to perform these heroics. It's not sustainable and it's not scalable. The recovery was a real win, but prevention is the real goal.
Fernando, that is very practical advice there. And I really appreciate the where you ended your comments there, because it's not, you know, we can't put the cape on and save shipment after shipment in the manner you did. That isn't sustainable. And also, I want to point out to folks, Fernando is not telling you stuff that he thinks. He's telling you stuff that he knows, because clearly the Venture Metals organization does not take this lightly. All right. So, Krenar, same question. And then we'll get Scott's comments. What would you recommend that the actions supply chain leaders should take out there based on today's conversation?
I'm not going to reiterate all the things that Fernando said, but I would say I 100% agree with what Fernando is saying there. It's a layered approach, and just start with one layer and build that, write it down, understand exactly the processes that are going into your supply chain or how your loads actually move from where you are, where it needs to go. As Fernando said there, this is not a one-person show. It's a chain of folks and a chain of companies that are moving this load. And make sure that wherever that start with the weakest link, work on that, then the next weakest link, then the next weakest link. Add those layers that we've talked about. That's the best thing you can do. But looking at the weakest links is key.
Mm.
Because no matter how much you add, if that weakest link, if that broker, if that carrier is hacked, they don't have protection. They don't know that there's theft happening. You're directly just faced with that.
Yep. And I would just add to that, there's an old 1980s commercial that would come on regularly and kind of riffing on that. If you don't get your cargo security from Tide, get your cargo security from somewhere, because a threat is very real. Now, Scott, again, I want to reference all of your time in the CPG or do-it-yourself industry. So they're really talking your language in terms of threats that you saw throughout your career. In light of what Fernando and Krenar is recommending to the smartest audience of global supply chain, what recommendation would you have, Scott?
Yeah, I would add and build on what they said. Number one, if you're a shipper or a carrier, make sure that you're not ignoring these problems, or you feel like your contracts have you covered, or you have the right liability or insurance protection in place. Don't assume that. Go back and do a check. Number two, make sure that you are implementing some sort of layered approach in all the ways that were just articulated. Number three, build into your relationships with your carriers and your brokers or these asset carriers. What is the impact, and have dialogue about this, because you know your insurance or their insurance and their driver pay and all these things will be tied up in if someone has to pay these bills. And so let's have collaborative relationships with some of the carriers and brokers out there so we can jointly solve these problems, including taking the steps of multi-layer security that Gennar and Fernando have been talking about today. You owe it to yourselves to do that.
That's right. You owe it to yourselves, or your customers, your suppliers, your ecosystem, especially your team members. All right. So we got some good practical advice from the three of y'all there. And folks, if you're curious, we were talking about what crime pays, I guess, when the bad actors get away. But when they get caught, if you're curious about what the driver is charged with, there's a great transport topics write-up on Fernando's story. And it looks like the driver was charged with a first-degree felony of cargo theft above $200,000. And get this, it's punishable from 5 to 99 years or even life imprisonment. How about that? Serious business. serious business. Okay. So, Krenar, again, this is one example, one organization, one sector that you work with. You work across sectors, especially high-value goods, which we're going to touch on in just a second. If folks want to start working with Tive today and talk about, you know, that first layer that you and Scott both spoke to, how easy is that? What would you suggest, Krenar?
Yeah, I just want to say something. You're right. This was one sector, I have it here just on a few days ago, May 31st, we saved $1 million load for a very large retailer because of the GPS showing that it was stopped for a long time at a place where we're not supposed to be stopped, and law enforcement and saved $1 million load. Then I have a little bit of a sad one recently. Then this was just, I think, yesterday morning, where this customer didn't turn the route deviation alert. They got the light alerts, but when they went there, the load was already gone. And we could have easily detected a few hours earlier or an hour earlier before the route deviation was on, if they had enabled it. And this was a customer that didn't expect theft at all. So now they're expecting this, and this is something that they're going to continue to actively monitor. But there's cases where customers come in and join Tive, not because of theft, and then theft happens, like in this case. And then there's customers that join because of theft. So I would say, please reach out, tive.com. You can easily reach out there. You can find us on LinkedIn, but the website is the easiest. And do it before anything bad happens.
That's right. Do it. Act now, folks. Krenar, can we trust that you'll be bringing those stories, especially that $1 million shipment to Supply Chain Now in the weeks ahead? Maybe that'd be terrific.
It's a very big retailer. I don't know if they would.
We'll see. We'll work on it. But Fernando, I'll tell you what.
I'm glad we saved it.
Yes. Well, no doubt. And I can't wait to learn more.
And Fernando, thank you, Matt, for sharing this story. I just really commend you.
Thank you for partnering with me, Krenar. Without your device, it would have been gone.
Man. Stakes are real, folks. Stakes are real. Well, Fernando, it's remarkable what you've shared here today. It really is. And you know, between reading the story and hearing you describe it, I can almost see it in my brain. The steps you took was just as remarkable. And you know, folks, the information, real-time information on a variety of channels, variety of levels, so you can, you know, even if you don't want to pull your inner MacGyver like Fernando did, you provide it to the authorities, so we save each and every shipment, like whether it's $1 million, whether it's 20,000, right? All right, so Scott, I'm about to ask your patent key takeaway after I share a couple resources, and we also make sure folks know how to connect with Fernando and Krenar. But first, I want to share those resources that we mentioned earlier. Folks, high-value goods, right? There's so many things that we ship, as we all know. But we invite you to check out a library of resources from our friends at Tive that will help you better understand how you can protect your high-value goods. Amongst information, you're going to find some compelling use cases from industry as well. So go check that out. You're one click away. And also, Krenar mentioned the Tive website. There's lots of different resources and perspectives, tools, you name it. Go check that out. You're going to be able to learn how Tive can help you actively manage your shipments in real time, as we've been really stressing here today, across road, rail, air, and ocean. And really, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Again, learn more at Tive.com. And one last thing before we get Scott's patent key takeaway. If you're curious about Venture Metals and Fernando's organization and possibly how you might work with his team, go connect with Kelly Fairchild. And I know Kelly would be more than happy to tell you about the services that they offer in a critical industry. So, Scott, before we make sure we know how to connect with Fernando and Krenar, you've got the toughest question, because we've gotten some actionable, some invigorating, some amazing perspective here today. What is your patented key takeaway here today, Scott?
It's great, the story, and that is, do not assume that you're safe or that you're covered or that you're one step ahead of the bad actors, because they are working to defeat every day all the defenses you put up. So don't make an assumption. Don't assume that it's happening in some faraway place. It's likely happening on your freight, in your lanes, and you need to take some action so that you can prevent yourself from being in this movie script.
Mm. Scott, that's good. That is good. And I just want to take one thing you shared and really spike the football on it. You know, Kernar, Fernando, and Scott, I met a couple of years ago with an attorney that has been a part of hundreds of ransom discussions, negotiations with a lot of cyber bad actors. And one of the biggest things that he stressed, based on all his experience, was until we realize, and kind of, Scott, you're talking about the assumptions we got to challenge, until we realize as an industry that these bad actors, it's not like a once here, an hour there. They think about 24/7 how to penetrate the weakest spots in our supply chain ecosystems. And until we realize it's a job for them, it is a passionate mission that they're on, we will always be less than safe. So folks, take what you heard here from Scott and Fernando and Kernar and take action. Kernar Kamoni, how can folks connect with you, my friend, and with our friends at Tive?
As Tive.com on LinkedIn, you can find us. You can find me on LinkedIn. Feel free to message me. That's it.
It's just that
easy. Very straightforward.
Very straightforward, just like you always are. To the point, Fernando Boom. And you notice, Fernando, I just want to point this out. I've made it a whole hour with no ABBA joke. No ABBA joke at all.
Is this the ABBA joke?
Every time I said Fernando, I think of the ABBA tune. But hey, Fernando Boom, again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come share your perspective and your story here today. How can folks connect with you in Venture Metals?
You gave it up. Kelly Fairchild, she's our VP of marketing. You can connect with her for anything Venture Metals related. I can be found on LinkedIn, just as like Kernar said. Look me up.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I really appreciate that. All right. So Fernando Boom, Director of Transportation at Venture Metals, Kernar Kamoni, Founder and CEO at Tive, Scott DeGroot, always a pleasure. Thanks to our entire panel for being here today. Big thanks to our global audience for tuning in. I bet y'all have a million questions too. Hey, reach out to our panel. They enjoy, especially Kernar, who sees this across industries. Reach out, tee up a conversation. Whatever you do, take action because the risk is real. But hope you all enjoyed the conversation today. You know the homework. We had so much actionable perspective. Take one thing that Fernando or Kernar or Scott shared here today. Do something with it, right? And with all that said, these not words, folks. With all that said, on behalf of the whole Supply Chain Out team, Scott Luden challenge you, do good, give forward, be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Join the Supply Chain Now community for more supply chain perspectives, news, and innovation. Check out supplychainnow.com, subscribe to Supply Chain Now on YouTube, and follow and listen to Supply Chain Now wherever you get your podcasts.